Oh yeah.
This is ridiculous. I haven't even given the opening spiel yet.
Oh yeah. Okay, do it.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 42 of the Simpleton Podcast.
Hi.
My name is still Daniel James.
Yeah.
I am still in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And the dickhead on the other side of the line is Scott Gall from Berlin, Germany.
Ooh.
Scotty, how you going, mate?
Oh, energized. Daniel's energized and ready to go as an old man with a hangover. I see we
ridiculous
do this.
Ridiculous saying, Scott. Ridiculous saying.
I see, we get into this. The Simpletons, they've been waiting for us for so long, Daniel. We've been waiting for them.
They've been literally sitting by the side of their podcast, HTC One computer, their various Samsung phones, their various mobile devices, waiting for the past few weeks for there to be another episode of The Simpleton. And here it is.
Here it is. Daniel, what's up?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, mate, it's been a few weeks, and I was wondering actually what you've got up for us
World
for
Report.
This particular podcast.
World Report.
I'll allow it.
Yeah.
I will allow it. Just because this time let's just face it, we're running out of ideas, and we might as well stick to what we know.
Exactly
so
right,
the World
Daniel.
Report is. Scott, what do you got for us?
Magingo Island. What do you know of it?
Well, it's obviously been in the news recently, as all our world reports have, but the island itself is situated in Lake Victoria, which is, of course, Scott, the largest freshwater lake on Earth.
Yeah, how do you define large? Volume of water or
volume
surface?
Of water.
No,
volume
then
of water,
I think, my friend, you would find it's Lake Baikal, Siberia.
What's with the quasi-evil voice?
Daniel, just
Scott, you sounded like a Bond villain just then.
What you're doing now, I'm afraid, is shifting the goalposts. There's one way to find out, simpletons. Type in biggest large water leak, fresh large water leak. 1, 2, 3, 4. Type in largest fresh water leak in the world. Find the answer for yourselves.
I'm gonna leave that fluff in there, Scott. The fact that you're just trying to be a little bit too Bond villainish with your wisdom and your trickery, but you fluffed the line. So that's staying in there. That
yeah,
staying
yeah.
Well truly in there. Look, Magingo Island is located some 15 miles off the eastern shoreline.
And it's about the size of a soccer field.
It's about the size of a soccer field or a small baseball field. And it's home to several hundred people and has several bars, brothels, and also a zoo.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, Scott, given it is an extremely small island with such a population, it's also extremely densely populated.
Mm-hmm.
And to add to that, it is the permanent home of 24 soldiers, as you know, Scott.
Yeah.
12 from Kenya and 12 from Uganda, as both countries claim the island paradise is their own.
Okay, wait a moment. Two things. I know about those two contingents. I have heard that one of them in particular is very feisty, hot-headed, not afraid of... Well, let me put it this way. Sooner a feed than a fight. I'm not going to say which one...
Is that right?
Yeah.
Isn't it sooner a fight than a feed?
That's it. That's exactly right. And... Well, Daniel, which one is it? We'll see if it matches up.
Well, it's the Ugandans. It's the Ugandans, of course. Scott.
Of course. And
the Kenyans are very much recovered from a century or so of British rule.
Mm.
The Ugandans, not so much.
Mm.
But, you know, it is an island paradise. So I know that for a fact. I've been there.
Okay.
I vacationed there back there in 2010.
Month?
February. And... it's not only a beautiful island, Scott, but it's an island which has a heavily dependent economy based on fishing, adventure tourism.
Yeah.
And all this, of course, was brought in by the mayor of Magingo Island, Desmond Rainbow Warrior.
Desmond Rainbow Warrior.
Rainbow is his nickname.
Where's he from?
Uganda.
He's from Uganda. I've got two points to bring up here. First of all, despite the dispute, Migingo Island finds itself chiefly within the area of Nyanza, a Kenyan polling area, Daniel. Secondly, you claimed before this show that actually Craig Bamford of Australia was brought in as a troubleshooter to take the role of mayor.
I checked that in between takes.
Yeah.
Before we proceeded this discussion, and I actually found out that that's actually not the case at all.
Okay.
Craig Bamford, I think, lives in Melbourne, plays football for, is it Urawa still?
Urawa.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Has probably never been to either Kenya or Uganda, and I would say it was a very remote possibility that he's ever even heard of Migingo Island, let alone been the mayor of it.
So no connection there. Good.
Not that I can find. I'm not ruling it out, but it's just not that I can find.
Yeah. Listen, Daniel, you've been there, and I wonder if you did experience any of the tensions between the two 12 soldier contingents during your stay.
Like
there.
I said, the Kenyan contingent is fine.
Yeah.
No problems there whatsoever.
Yeah.
Ugandan contingent, very, very trigger happy, as my late girlfriend would attest to.
Answer within two seconds, her name?
Can't remember. Mm-hmm. It was another life, Scott. I was young and naive.
Daniel?
Hmm.
You know then what this story is about, don't you? The World Report today.
Can I take a wild guess?
Go on.
I have a feeling this is what you're driving at.
Mm.
And it's very difficult to ascertain that sometimes, Scott. But is this about the recent joint visit to the island?
It is.
Okay, so this is about the recent joint visit to the island by Kenyan Police Chief David Kameo and his Ugandan counterpart, Kal Kayahiro.
Gee, that sounds Japanese.
That does sound very Japanese, but that's the pronunciation I've got spelled out here for me.
Yeah.
To smooth over recent tensions that have been simmering between the two 12-man occupations.
Exactly right, Scott. Daniel.
Is that correct?
Exactly right. Yes. And tensions have skyrocketed since an incident in the last couple of months in which those hot-headed Ugandans assaulted three of the Kenyan contingent.
They did.
They did. You know about it?
Yeah, I know about it. The Ugandan contingent has been hampered by ongoing accusations of heavy-handedness, which was not helped by their recent decision to confiscate fishing nets from Kenyan fishermen on the island. I mean, that is a red rag to a Kenyan fisherman's bull, Scott. What is a fisherman without his fishing net? Scott, can you just... continue on with the listeners while I go and have a brief spray of Ventolin.
Go on.
I'm actually losing my lung capacity as we speak, as my airways constrict.
I'll continue.
All right, I'll be back in a sec.
Well, listeners, as I mentioned before, Migingo Island is in the Kenyan polling area of Nyanza. And now the outgoing Nyanza PC, Francis Mutia, said that the incident alone, that is the assault of the three Kenyans, that's all right, was no cause for concern on its own. But I have to admit, it does fit within a broader pattern, and I am very concerned about it. I'm sure Daniel is also greatly concerned about the broader pattern in which incidents such as that are a part
of. It's turned the island into a tinderbox, Scott. I feel that at any moment the island could explode in a holocaust of violence, the likes of which the known lake has never seen before in its lifetime.
Daniel, I want to bring something else up with you. As recently as July this year, that's only a few weeks back, the same Ugandan contingent was accused of extorting money from Kenyan fishermen on the island. So it's ongoing, these issues. But the fact is that such behaviour has only escalated since what? It hasn't gone down. It's actually escalated since what?
That means it's not gone down. It's gone up.
That's right. It's escalated since the presidents of the two countries concerned, plus President Yoweri Museveni of Rwanda, since they met for a conference in Uganda. Some had hoped they would smooth that conference would help smooth over concerns. It didn't. It's escalating.
Of course, it's not going to. What's Yoweri going to do about it?
I know.
It's actually none of his fucking business. What's he, some sort of... what's he, the United Nations of Africa, is he?
I don't know, Daniel, but listen, to bring this thing to a close, I worry about the future of Migingo Island, where it's headed.
We all do. We all do.
I know. The Nile perch, for example, it was an introduced fish.
I know.
How many of them were introduced into the lake back in the 60s?
Six.
Six. Only six of them. And since then... Yep.
They have taken over the lake.
They've taken over the lake, eliminating hundreds of other fish species from the lake, not to mention the sulfuric crabfish. It was native of Lake Victoria, the sulfuric crabfish.
Are you making that up?
No, it's gone. And on top of that, now, due to overfishing, the Nile perch itself is in decline, Daniel. And there are suggestions that climate change is causing the water level to drop. We have cutthroat pirates operating in Lake Victoria, making the existence of the island's fishermen all the more difficult. And this is where the Ugandans step in, demanding protection money. Yeah. Lastly, there's the very real fear that with these two armies facing off on the island, there
not is... Really armies. Not really armies, are they? They're just a couple of squads of lightly armed men, really.
With these two military forces facing off on the island, the potential for a regional and even international war to explode over the island exists like a tinderbox, as you said before. Daniel, have we done with this, or do you have a final say on this matter?
I would like to challenge some of your assertions.
Yeah.
But I won't, in the interests of time and entertainment.
And continuity. Yeah, time and entertainment, then. That's fine.
Yeah.
Heard much of Nathan Moore lately?
No, I haven't actually. He dropped me a line the other day, but besides that, not really.
Stephen Jeffries?
No, I haven't heard from him either.
Okay. This is
again. Although they are worldly renowned as our biggest fans.
Yeah. I guess we best move on.
But let me just say this also. I would like to give a shout out to our one Russian listener. You keep showing up in our statistics week in, week out, and we appreciate your support. Yes. Okay, time for a word from our sponsors.
Fresh. Pure. Timeless. Refreshing, invigorating, energizing. Bottled on site from the legendary Seven Creeks Spring, BH Mineral Water is so pure that, following your first sip, you will never wish to drink anything else ever again. If water is the elixir of life, then BH Mineral Water is that much more. But don't want to take my word for it? Fine. But just know this. Not a single bottle of BH Mineral Water is sealed before first undergoing stringent analysis at our in-house laboratory located at the site formerly known as the Wool Run. BH bottled mineral water from the glaciers of Belmatten Hill. Purity has never been so pure.
Okay, Scott, what have we got next?
You just hear my...
But just before we go on, BH stands for Balmadam Hill, does it?
That's right.
Okay, fine. What have we got?
What have we got, Daniel? We're returning to our roots with this special one. It's now over a year since episode one. Answer me this one, little bud. After a world... I was expecting a retort there. Didn't come. But after...
I'm used to your bullshit. Just continue.
We'll continue. After a world report, what typically came next?
Is it the sports report?
Yes, Daniel! Woo! My friend? No. My friend? I'll get it straight into it. Waffle is our greatest enemy.
Yes.
And it's a big one today.
Have you actually got that printed out and stuck on your wall as I requested, Scott?
Right in front of me.
Good.
Massive one today, Daniel. Let me start with a question. This one, just who said cock throwing was dead?
I don't think it's ever been dead, Scott.
That's right. Widely derided at the time as a blood sport, a game of cock throwing.
Can I just...
Yep.
We are talking about cock throwing, the sport.
I'm going to tell you what the sport entails.
Okay.
Okay. Game of cock throwing entailed tying a rooster to a post and then throwing sticks at it until it died. Well, Daniel, the sport, especially popular in Britain, was banned back in the late 18th century and was presumed dead. But it ain't dead, Daniel. It's back. It's back.
I'm flabbergasted that it's back.
What?
I mean, what a cruel and unusual sport. And that is no way that anyone's cock should be treated.
Daniel, I'm just
going to... Why are you laughing?
Daniel... Yeah,
no. I take exception to your laughing.
I'm just going to launch.
I'm making a serious point.
Let me get into the sports report, Daniel. Because
would you like your cock treated like that, Scott?
Well, now you're doing double on. What's the pronunciation? Double entendres. What's the pronunciation?
I don't know, but I think you mean sexual innuendo, and I'm not.
Daniel, allow me to get into it because my latest research on Facebook. It's about I found Facebook an appreciation page for cock throwing, Daniel. It's got 9 likes, my friend. It's back. It's back. And there are now...
Whoever liked... The 9 people that liked that Facebook page should be hunted down and brought to the full force of the various justice systems in their various countries.
Mm.
I find it very hard to believe that anyone could like such a shocking sport.
Well, aren't we all high and mighty now, Daniel?
As a matter of fact,
yeah,
I'm going to fucking veto this whole segment. I don't want to hear any more. I don't want to hear any more about cockfighting, cock throwing.
I extensively researched that Facebook page, Daniel.
Trying to think of another cock sport.
Cockfighting, cock throwing. There was another
cock
one.
Cock throwing.
There was another one. Cock ringing.
Cock stabbing.
Cock stabbing.
Cock stabbing.
Cock ringing.
I don't want to hear any more about it. And as far as I'm concerned, I've given you chances time and time and time again with this fucking sports report, and you fuck it up every time. So no more.
No more. I haven't got...
Absolutely no more.
I'm not even going to fight back. Haven't got any energy to fight back, so if that's how it is, I accept. Then what? I was going to tell you my findings. I extensively researched the Facebook page. You're not interested, so I hope you got something to replace it, Daniel. On this day in 1907, the Australian explorer Darren Hall attempted a solo push from Camp 4 to be the first man to ever scale the summit of Mount Everest. At precisely midday, he was observed several hundred feet under the south summit in the distance by his climbing companion, Robert Hannell, who'd stayed back at Camp 4 due to altitude sickness.
This was the last official sighting of Mountaineer Hall before an hours-long snow blizzard seemingly swallowed him up without a trace. At approximately 4 p.m., after the blizzard had subsided, Stephen Bone, a climber from a separate expedition which had just arrived at Camp 4, observed through his binoculars a ginger-headed man sitting in a spa bath with two unidentified blondes upon the final ridge before the summit. While impossible to confirm definitively, the mountaineer could have only been Hall, and while he was never seen again, to say nothing of the two blondes or the spa bath, Bone's accounts went on to inspire over a century of conjecture about whether Hall had in fact been the first person to scale the mighty mountain. But whether it was Hillary, Mallory, or Hall that was the first to stand upon the highest place on our planet, it barely matters. For until definitive proof is uncovered to the effect that Mountaineer Hall had already stood upon the summit prior to the soiree in the spa bath, upon what would later become known as Hillary's Ridge, conjecture will never be anything more than that what it is called.
Yeah, so Daniel, you cancelled the sports segment. I have nothing to replace it as said. You better have something good. We're rusty as those first two segments were barely passable.
Lackluster. Absolutely lackluster.
Lackluster. You'll jazz them up somehow. Post-production. But what have you got for us now?
The production team will. Yeah.
The production team will. Yeah.
Look, I actually do have something for us today, Scott. Today/tonight, depending on when the simpleton at the end of this particular podcast is listening to, what time he or she is listening to this podcast.
Yeah,
could be night, could be day, could be Mike, could be Greg. But I actually do have something for you, and it's actually under quite a bit of duress that I have to say, Scott, that we are actually obliged to cross-promote the other podcast on our simpletonpodcast.com website.
What is all this about then? I had no forewarning.
You know what it's about, Scott. Stop fucking about.
Oh, come on, Scott. Don't fuck about.
Yeah, well, for the last 3 weeks, we've been sharing band with the intrepid investigatory adventures of Dale Richardson through his series, Dale Richardson Investigates. Have you listened to it?
I caught a bit of episode one. I will listen to the others, but not as yet. What are we up to? Episode four or five?
I think episode three is just dead, and we're up to episode four. I'm not usually into this paranormal, you know, this stuff. Hocus pocus conspiracy theory shite.
Have you listened to this one?
But, yeah, I listened to the most recent one. I'm being forced by the owners of simpletonpodcast.com to say nice things about it. I'm finding that very, very difficult. Richardson himself seems like some sort of deluded egomaniac.
Yes, that's what I have heard.
I've actually run this by the lawyer, Scott, so I feel free in saying that. But having said that, I guess we better play a segment for the listeners to let them decide for themselves.
Yeah.
If anyone or anything is present, make yourself known or forever hold your peace, at least until the morning. I plan to sleep on this bed here and I don't wish to be woken. I've been bothered by the paranormal before and it's way less cool and interesting than you might suppose. NRO personnel tend to have a drug first and finger later policy. Seriously, ghosts, after 2 weeks in the DUMB, your faggy poltergeist shit is really not all that interesting. So either pop up in front of the camera or get fucked. Time is money. Alternatively, you can just go and see Ray. Interesting. That sounded like a knock. But I need more proof. If there is no spirit being currently present in the room, I want you to knock again to prove that there was a rational explanation for the last knock. But if there is a spirit, I want you to do nothing this time around. Do not knock. And then I will know that the first knock was from you, the spirit being.
Armed with a mountain of evidence and info to present to Margaret Houston upon her return to the homestead in the morning, I climbed into the single guest room bed before lapsing into a troubled sleep.
Well, there you have it. Yeah. That was from episode 3 of Dale Richardson Investigates. What did you make of that, Scott?
I must admit, I'm a little bit more open-minded than I was before you played that segment. So I might listen to the rest of them now with a bit more of an open mind. What about yourself?
Look, I remain pretty much unchanged by what I've just heard.
Yeah.
It seems that the evidence that he was relying on to prove that there was actually a spectre in the Houston household is flimsy at best. He described it as a mountain of evidence. I wouldn't describe it anyway near a mountain of evidence. I would call it more a molehill of evidence and paranoia. But there you go. You know, whatever excites the kids these days. Look, I won't admit to be sort of like the coolest, grooviest, you know, guy hanging around the block, you know. But, you know, I'm told that the kids quite enjoy it. I'm told that the episodes are going quite well. But that's for other people to decide. I'm only fulfilling my corporate responsibility.
Yeah. Now we can take an imaginary shower, I suppose, and then get on with the podcast. What do you say?
Together.
Of course. Getting on with the podcast together.
Right. Right. Scott, do you know what time it is?
Yep.
It's time for listeners' letters. Scott, you know that we couldn't do this whole shebang without our valued listenership.
Debatable. Shut up.
We very, very greatly appreciate their correspondence week in, week out, tirelessly. And we've been off the air for 3 or 4 weeks now. And accordingly, we've received 3 pieces of correspondence, which we are greatly appreciative of.
Mm.
If people want to contact us here at simpletonpodcasts.com, all they have to do is go to the contact page on that said site and just type in a nice little message. It could be about anything. It could be about all matter of subject, all matter of topic.
How many of ours are genuine and how many are written by, say, someone at the Simpleton podcast?
I've actually got the spreadsheet in front of me, Scott.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to provide those statistics with you. 100%, an absolute 100% of the people, the letters that are written to us, the emails, the notes, the whatever it may be that are written to us, are 100% genuine.
Is that a lie?
No.
Then that's good enough for me. Will I get on with letter one, Daniel?
Would you?
Yes, I would. This one is from Babylon Storm of Auckland, New Zealand. Mm. Oh, this is interesting. I don't know whether you'll like this one, Daniel, but I'll read it. Bravo, simpletonpodcast.com. Bravo. My interest was severely lagging with regards your weekly podcast, but the new series with Dale E. Richardson has not only revitalized my lagging interest, it has again made me a true believer. Bravo and brilliant, guys. Congratulations. That's from Babylon Storm of New Zealand. Daniel, have you got anything to say or shall you...
Well, I think it's only fitting that it is from New Zealand because... Knowing New Zealand, they've clearly got nothing else better to do with their lives than listen to tripe like Dale Richardson Investigates.
Yeah.
But we thank them very much for listening to this podcast. We really do.
New Zealand is really the Tasmania of the Southern Hemisphere, isn't it?
I'm going to have to think about that one a little bit. And while I do that, shall we move on to letter two?
Letter two, Daniel.
Okay, let me read this one out, Scott. You've been doing a lot of the heavy lifting so far with this podcast. This one comes from, I think I've got this pronounced right. It's either Tucson or Tuscan.
Tuscan, I think.
Tuscan? Okay. Yeah. This one comes from Tuscan Bang, from the Tropic of Cancer in Central America.
It's very general, isn't it?
That is very general. As far as I know, the Tropic of Cancer is just basically a line on a map.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And Central America, well, Central America is pretty fucking big.
Yeah.
But anyway, Miss or Mr. Bang writes, Wow. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tuscan. Thank you, Tuscan.
For that. Scott, I believe that you have letter three.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Tuscan. This one is from, I think it's Grover Schnorpel of Werribee, mm-hmm. Melbourne.
Schnorpel, what? Where's that surname derived from, Scott?
Grover Schnorpel. It sounds European. It's not. Mm. It's not German or English. That much I can say. I reckon it might
Austrian.
Be
Austrian.
You think it might be Austrian?
Yeah,
could well be right. Well, could well be right, Daniel.
Let's keep it authentic, and if you could just read this letter out in a German accent, that'd be great.
I'll try my best.
Hi guys, yeah. I a writer, yeah, who's looking for support, yeah. I complete screenplay and it's verdammt good Stück work, even if me says so to me, yeah. It's full long politic thriller, and title is And Then There Was One, yeah, which about the 1994 merge of the Shire of Yorowa, Goulburn, Violet Town, McKivor, and the rural city of Seymour, yeah, into what now call Shire of Strathbogie, yeah. It full of twists, turns, and you name it what you want, yeah, and it about ins and outs of what was one of most tumultuous episode in local government within Yarrowa and district, yeah, during mid-1990. Now I just need a financial backer, guys, yeah? And I think you can do this for me, yeah? It could be start of most friendly, beneficial friendship. Call me, yeah?
Is he just wants us to call him?
Yeah, he wants us.
Didn't leave a name. Left a name. Didn't leave a number. I suppose there can't be too many Schnorpels in the Werribee phone book, can there?
Wouldn't be too many of them. What do you think about that? I don't know if we've got the financial means.
You're asking me what I think of the concept?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dead on arrival. Absolutely dead on arrival. Yeah. It's a dog with fleas, Scott. It's not going to go anywhere. That would have to be one of the most boring bits of Northeast and Golden Valley history in the history of the Northeast and or Golden Valley.
In recent times.
Ever. Fucking ever.
Okay. Well,
Scott, I think it's time to bring this podcast to an end. Oh,
thank goodness.
Fucking telling me. Is it, there's a week ahead of us, I understand. Yeah. Is there anything in the week ahead of us, Scott, that I or listeners should be aware of? Can you tell us?
Do you know? I see the already dwindling listenership of the Simpleton podcast dwindling further. And what?
I think you're actually being quite insightful for once.
And I think episode 4 of Daily Richardson might be on the way. I might even have a listen to that. What do you see?
Oh, you've ticked the box there, haven't you, Scott? yes, I've been also asked to let listeners know that episode 4 of Dale Richardson Investigates is airing Tuesday, Australian time. I don't know what time that is in the rest of the world. I don't give a fuck. I'm an Australian.
Yeah.
Proud of it. So keep an eye out there. If you want to listen to it, it's simpletonpodcast.com/Dale Richardson. Or, of course, you can just type in Dale Richardson Investigates into iTunes, as you can do with this particular podcast by doing the same thing, except instead of typing Dale Richardson Investigates, you type in The Simpleton into iTunes and you'll come up with this very podcast. And I know you won't want to miss any episode or future episodes of this podcast.
David.
So we thank you for your support.
David Wilkes, what about him? How's he going?
Scott, I would like to thank you for your time. I'd like to thank listeners for their time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.